The International Mastermind Association is a group of like-minded individuals who have come together based on the mastermind concept espoused in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. As masterminders, we commit to coming together as a group on a regular basis for a coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. We come together to share knowledge with one another, support each other in setting and achieving our goals, and hold one another accountable to what we commit to do for ourselves. We set goals in 10 areas of our lives: spiritual, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, recreational, creativity. You must have goals and plans if you are going to succeed in any endeavor. After all, successful people have plans. Napoleon Hill said, quote, education, knowledge, and influence are more powerful than any exchange of money, end quote. For more information about International Mastermind Association, visit us on the web, internationalmasterminders.com, or once again, Facebook the group, International Mastermind Association.
And again, good morning. This is Ann McNeil, the Master Builder, helping you to build a stronger and better life and business. And on behalf of the International Mastermind Association and our Think and Grow Rich Masterminders, we have another very exciting show for you today. We're discussing the chapter on imagination with our awesome guests, Angelique Frost and Ursula Odom. Napoleon Hill shares that the imagination is literally the workshop wherein all plans are created. It is also impacting the impulse of desire. When you think about your imagination, what do you think? Well, we're coming on this morning to share with you our thoughts about the principles of imagination. And to start us off, we're going to start with our guests introducing themselves, and then we will get right into the conversation. Good morning, Angelique, and good morning, Ursula. If Angelique, you'd go first, share a little about yourself, Ursula, then you, and then we will start with our meeting of the minds. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Angelique Frost. I own Remarje's Luxury Bead Line, why I sell high-end luxury beads made out of sterling silver, 14-karat gold, and foreign gems. I began this journey with Ms. Ann 6 months ago when I first received the book on Think and Grow Rich, and it has been an overflow and an unforgettable experience that I look forward to sharing with you. Thank you so much.
All right. Now, Ursula, if you'd share, and then we'll go right into the interview and the questions. And for all of our listeners, if you would like to participate in the show, just press 1 on your phone, and we will bring you onto the show with your comment and or questions. Ursula?
Good morning. I am so excited to be here. And my name is Ursula Odom, and I am the founder of Sula 2. And we make old, new in everything we do. In that, I'm a legacy writer. I capture your story, your corporate story, and present it in any form that I can possibly do it, from books to legacy walls to videos. That's what we do.
Well, this show is about you, the listener, the audience, and you, along with us, all learning how to use the imagination. Napoleon Hill shares with us that there are two types of imagination. The first type of imagination is synthetic, and he says that through this faculty, one can arrange old concepts, ideas, or plans into new combinations. The faculty of synthetic imagination actually creates nothing. Can you imagine that? It creates nothing. Actually, what it does is that it takes two types of items that already exist and creates a third. He goes on to say it merely works with the material of experience, education, and observation with which it is fed. It is the faculty used most by the inventor, with the exception of the genius, who draws upon the creative imagination when unable to solve a problem through synthetic imagination. We are walking through the book, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, if you have not joined us in the past. And every week we take a different chapter. Our chapter for this week, regardless of what version you're using, is the chapter on imagination. Our show today is focusing on sharing with you our stories and our examples of how we have used our creative imagination and synthetic imagination. Napoleon Hill goes on to say creative imagination is described as the faculty which finite human mind has direct communication with infinite intelligence. It is the faculty through which hunches and inspiration are received. It is also by this faculty that all basic or new ideas are handed over to us. It is through this faculty that thought vibrations or influences from the minds of others are received. When you tune in or when you communicate with your subconscious mind, it is also communicating with the minds around you. And with that, we're going to go to our guest, and we are going to begin to discuss how does your synthetic imagination impact you. So we'll start with you, Angelique. How would you explain imagination? And once you share that, then we'll go to Ms. Odom. All right, Angelique. How do you explain imagination?
Imagination is somewhat, I want to say, a little bit of like faith, but it gives you a little bit more wings to grow. How I think of it is that it's so imperative to have. And, you know, I think about when you're a kid, you know, even when you're down and you're playing with toys, you're always taught to have an imagination. It's like creating something that maybe an idea has already been placed, but making it better or increasing it or doing it in your way that would be more convenient for you. And although in the book I know that there are two types, which are the synthetic, which gets nothing done, and then there's a creative, it teaches you in the book that you need both because both of them work together. You know, I predominantly like creative imagination because I love art. I love creating. I love doing things my way because it makes it a little bit more sufficient for me. But being, as we were discussing before, being a student of the mind is something where there's no limitation. No one can tell you to turn down your imagination. It's something that's yours, and once you create it and get one idea and come up with a definite plan, you will see that you will begin to get ideas that you didn't either A, know that you had, or B, you'll see that you're continuing to tweak whatever it is you have to make it better. So it's very fun and interesting, and at the end, it brings out things in you that you never thought that or imagined that you had. So to me, that's my level of creative. I prefer the creative imagination because it's so colorful, and when you present it to other people, your ambition and your enthusiasm just shoots up through the roof because you're surprised that your imagination could go that far. So that's what I would say for mine, Ms. Ann.
Well, interestingly, I think that one of the examples of synthetic imagination, when you take one idea and you mix it with another idea, you get a third product. And I like to always share that a really good example of that for those of you who have ever attended Cirque du Soleil, what is that? It is two ideas combined into one that created a third idea. When you take the circus, you mix it with ballet, you have Cirque du Soleil. That is what's called a blue ocean strategy idea. So just like what you just finished sharing, Angelique, you're taking ideas from the universe, products that you've already seen or touched or felt, and you're creating a third idea, a third product, something that takes it to an entirely different level for your clients and your customers. That's just a product of a synthetic imagination. And now, Ursula, if you would share how you got started and how does imagination show up in your work, whether creative or synthetic?
Well, I track back the first time when I crawled under my grandmother's bed. I crawled under my grandmother's bed and I said, "Grandmama, what is this?" And what I pulled out were photographs, letters, and a lock of her sister's hair. And that sparked in me a curiosity about who were these people that brought so much joy to my grandmother and that she wanted to hold on to these treasures and trinkets about these people. And then she told me the stories about them. And so later on in life, when I was in college, actually, I sat at my grandmother's feet and I said, "Grandmother, tell me the stories that you used to tell me." And we spent an entire day with her telling me those stories. And those stories ended up as a part of my first book. And I realized that it has been a part of me for my entire life, taking shape from one, you know, via one activity versus another. And that is who I am today, the person that loves to capture those stories, loves to share those stories, and just a pure curiosity about how the past impacts the present and then shapes the future. I just love that. And when you ask me how I got started, I mean, that's the foundation of it. But I ended up writing scrapbooks or keeping scrapbooks, and I went back to my college reunion, and I took one of those scrapbooks with me, and I was able to share with my fellow alums stories about themselves, events, dates, places, combinations of activities and what have you, that they had long forgotten or certainly could not remember the details. So I left that event wanting to write, and I thought I was going to write about the scrapbook items and the journal items, but what I ended up writing was the stories that my grandmother told me and the impact that she had on my life, and I called it At Sula's Feet because her name was Ursula, short, excuse me, she was called Sula, and so it was At Sula's Feet. And then you asked me about how it has shown up in my work. Something happened just recently where imagination really took, it hit me right in the face by an audience member. And what happened was I was telling them that writing books means that you're almost like creating money, because when you have books in your possession at any given time, if you get into a hard place and you need some gas, you can say, you know, have you seen my book, and sell it for $15, $20, and you can go buy you some gas. And I was just saying that so that the young people in the class, it happened to be high school students, could understand the value of owning a book and being able to sell that book. And from whatever I said, a young man in the front of the room said, "Oh, you mean like having your own clothing line?" And that was such a beautiful moment for me because he got it. He used my words to create or to foster his imagination. So I stopped the performance right at that moment and changed it and dissect my uniform. I showed him how I had put that uniform together from a couple of pieces of cloth and then buying something at a thrift shop and then duplicating something I saw in a picture. And I said, something complicated can be simple if you take it apart and look at it, but you have to have the imagination to see it. So I saw it firsthand at work.
All right. Now, what we'd like to do is share with the audience how they can use their imagination, and what are some examples from the book where the author shares the idea of taking a simple idea and working that idea, and many, many, many years later, looking at the impact of that idea using the imagination. One of the examples he gives in the book is how to make the practical use of that imagination, and he talks about the enchanted kettle. And if either one of you would like to share, and I'll just kick it off by sharing what he says in the book, because many times we hear these stories, we hear these shows, and then we say, but what does that have to do with me? And I'm sure many of our listeners and callers in the future and currently, you know, who are listening online are asking, okay, that's great for the two of you, the three of you, but what does it have to do with me? How do I take my idea and use my imagination to turn it into something profitable? I like to suggest all the time the 6 steps to riches that Napoleon Hill discusses in his book, where he shares, first, you decide how much money you want to make. Then you then begin to decide what you're going to do to make that amount of money. You give a date, you give a plan, and then you write an affirmation statement and you repeat it twice a day. Basically, those are the 6 steps. But how does that relate to the enchanted kettle? And I'll just share here from what he shares in the book. He says, 50 years ago, an old country doctor drove to town, hitched his horse, quietly slipped into the drugstore, and in the back door, he began talking with a young clerk. This is the foundation of how Coca-Cola Company was formed. A man that sold the idea for $500 to a clerk who used his imagination. And right now, there are millions of employees, billions of dollars all over the world, all because the imagination of one man and one idea. How does this relate to each of us? If you want to share, each one of you, Ursula, you first, and then Angelique, how can we help the listener understand how to take their idea and mix it with imagination, use an accountability system such as a mastermind group to actually take that idea from step to step to step to step? Ursula, you first. Okay. Right before that, we're going to go to a brief commercial. I have to remember we have bills to pay, and we want to make sure that people understand who we are and what we do. So we're going to go to a commercial, and we'll come back to you, Ursula. Hold on.
A lot of you who know me know that I love to help people. I love to inspire people.
Yes, that is a commercial, but it's not the one we want. So you can tell this is not my first time doing this, right?
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. Or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
All right, and we are back with Angelique Frost and Ursula Odom, and we're talking about the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill and the chapter on the imagination, actually your imagination, and how do you use it regarding your creative imagination or synthetic imagination. We just finished talking about the Coca-Cola Company and how it was formed. There are a number of different examples in the book. If you have a copy, you're more than welcome to join in by pressing 1. If you want to share any thoughts, ideas, or suggestions. But right now we're going to go to Ursula and then to Angelique, and we're going to be wrapping up the show shortly, but it's been very exciting to just hear how they have each used the power of imagination in their business and their lives. So, Ursula?
Well, the most recent example came as a result of sitting in a pre-construction information meeting. And being an author and a performer, I perform Mary McLeod Bethune, and I have computer skills and what have you. I'm sitting in that room and trying to find a place for me as a writer. And all of a sudden, I realized that, oh, okay, so they're going to rehab this building. It's named for someone. I know how to connect history with present-day relevancy, and I have computer skills that I can put all that together. I can put together a legacy wall. And I stood up, went to the powers that be, and presented that idea, and they looked at me and went, oh, my goodness. They thought it was a great idea, had not thought about it, and the rest is history. I have put up a legacy wall, and I have several in the making, simply because I sat there and put myself in an environment where it didn't seem like it fit, but I had to use my imagination to see how I could combine my skills to be relevant for the moment.
Awesome. And being a person who's in the construction industry, it is just a matter of taking those ideas, like you said, and that is where the money comes from. Let me just make that very clear. When you take an idea and you expand on that idea and you continue to give it some thought with great deliberation over time, if you continue with accountability, and again, I like to always suggest a mastermind group, that idea can manifest into money. And with that, we're going to go to Angelique, but before we do that, I'd just like to share one of the ideas that came to mind as you were sharing, as a part of the National Association of Black Women in Construction, we host every month, about 10 months out of the year, a billion-dollar luncheon. Where did the idea come from? For me, being the founder of the organization, I travel to conferences sometimes 2 times a week, and I always noticed that architects, engineers, contractors, and owners are segregated by industries. They all have their own transportation industry. Everybody's in transportation, they go to the transportation conference. Everybody in aviation, they go to the aviation conference. Everybody in water, utilities, facilities, they go to their own conferences. And then I realized that the programs that are billion-dollar programs always presented at these conferences, what's coming up next. And the idea of taking synthetic imagination in my mind, I asked myself the question, what if we mix the two? What if we mix the billion-dollar idea of programs with these different industries and create a product? My father used to always tell me, Ann, you're always gone. You never stay home. People cannot come to visit you if you're not at home. And that's what I thought about for NABWIC. We're always attending other people's conferences, their luncheons, their events, their workshops. But what about in our industry as Black women, how do we, using the mastermind concept, using the book Think and Grow Rich and the principles, how do you take these principles and make them live like imagination? And what I began to look at doing was taking the idea one step to another step to another step. And right now we're going into our 3rd year. It has been phenomenal to every month bring the owners with their billion-dollar programs to our members that draws the architects, the contractors, and all of the people who we can do business with by creating relationships first. So I just want to just give that idea as another example. What does synthetic imagination look like in your business, in your job, in your life? How do you take old ideas, mix them with new ideas, and create another idea that is profitable, not just to you, but to all those who are around you. That's what the clerk did with the idea of creating Coca-Cola. He didn't just think about himself. He has created millions and millions of jobs, billions and billions of dollars, not just for the Coca-Cola company, but for all of the people that touch that product. So just wanted to share that story, and we're going to go to Angelique, and then we're going to begin to wrap up the show. If you're listening in and you'd like to participate on this awesome show, press 1 on your dial, and we will ask if you could ask a question or make a comment. Angelique?
Sure, absolutely. I'm getting so excited just thinking and talking about this, considering that my journey began not too long ago, and I would like to try to take a different approach because I want to make sure I reach my customer, like primarily. I just want to say this. Sometimes you don't have a starting point for your imagination. And I want to express to you so much, too. A lot of people have gifts, and they see them not as gifts. They see them kind of as burdens or things that may get on their nerves. Like, say, for instance, some people that have to have everything in order when you approach their home. Some people have to have look beautiful and put on makeup and have it precise. Those aren't things. Those are your gifts. So sometimes the things that you say that you don't like about yourself are actually your gifts, and you just haven't tapped into your imagination to express and see, okay, maybe this is what I like, or this is what I'm supposed to be doing. My customer base, or the people I want to really make sure I reach, are the people that are living check to check, because that really isn't living, that's only surviving. If you're not doing anything that you love, it's like, what is it that you love to do? What is it that you love to do that everyone said that you wouldn't do or that you feel like you can't do? Because God will give you the desires of your heart. No one says that you have to be in a cubicle. No one says you have to be a construction worker. No one says you have to be a writer. No one says you have to do luxury beats. But what is it that you desire? What would fulfill you? Because the longer and longer you take to prolong getting into what you love, because once you're in something that you love, your imagination will take you over. Things will begin to come out of you, and you'll get all of these ideas, and you'll say, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. That is when your imagination has, to me, the overflow of expressing itself. So, you know, with my imagination, after being a marketing representative with Verizon Wireless for 10 years, the job, I began to become a slave to it, not because I've mastered it. I've served my purpose there. I've accelerated and went the highest that I could go. And these are things or signs when the universe are trying to tell you, hey, maybe you're not supposed to be doing this. You fulfilled your purpose. And coming from the background of being a single mom or a single parent, sometimes you get pushed into a lifestyle where, hey, I have to do this until things get better. I want to let you know that your imagination is always working, even if you don't know it. Sometimes you can be sitting down at a coffee shop and get an idea, and you say, hey, where did that idea come from? I wasn't even thinking about that. That's your imagination letting you know. Sometimes in the days we live in now, depression is so real. You know, you don't even know how to detect it because you don't know if you have not been through depression and they feel like you want to get diagnosed and then you have to get on medication, the first thing that it will tell you is, what is it that's causing this? You know, what do you do that makes you happy? What do you do? Imagination allows you to tap outside of the world that you live in and tap into the world that you wish to live in or the way you want to be. You know, it will allow you to take the weight off of what God can do for you. It'll allow you to center yourself where you can no longer hear the outside noise. You can just hear yourself. And that is the only person that really matters, is you and God. Because once you convince yourself, there is no way you'll be able to let anyone else convince you of that. Your imagination will unfold itself to you once you begin to get on your journey. And there's a lot of people that is unhappy, especially in the recession, But even as you read the book, your imagination, it states that when there's a recession that's going on, there's even more likely for you to come up and use your imagination, because you're at a point sometimes when you're pressed against a wall. And for a lot of us, this is what I had to encounter, and I will wish it upon anybody. Sometimes when you get to a point in your life where you have to go so low, all you have is God, and he shows up. There's no prayer that's not answered. So I apologize, Ms. Ann, but it's so much ambition that gets into me when I hear these things, because I was that girl at one time that thought I was going to have to work a 9-to-5 and never spend time with my child and never be able to take the dream vacation I wanted. But oh my God, when I begin to dream, dreaming is also a form of imagination. Dreams, you know, some people go to sleep and never dream, but there are dreamers out there. And with NAPWIC and with the Mastermind and Blog Talk, those are the audience that we're trying to attract. Because you, even if you, it's harder to do it away alone by yourself. But once you get in an organization like this one, when you have people that will accommodate your dreams and add to it and give you references and get you just to be in the ambience of people that dream, is just a dream come true. Because once you get around people that have the same mindset and that encourage you and that, hey, you can get that car. Hey, you can take on that job. You know, it does something to your heart. And what it does is it opens you up to another world that you never knew existed. So the imagination is only the opening layout of it. You know, you dream. There is something in each and every one of us that we want to do, that behind that thought comes, oh, we'll never do it. Oh, I never have money for it. That's why we need the book for auto-suggestion, and I wouldn't have believed it until I actually encountered it for myself. So, you know, if all you can do is try, I say just give it a chance. Worst case scenario, you'll just stay in the same position that you're in. But imagination is so key, because it will give you an outlet from your, you know, if you got a hold of imagination, I feel like there would be less people smoking cigarettes. There would be less depression, because you're only doing those things when you're either focusing on anxiety or you're unhappy or something is bothering you. So, Ms. Ann, I'm sorry to take over the call, but my heart really sits well in it, because I was in a position where I thought there was no way out. I thought that, oh, my gosh, this is how it's going to happen. I'm just going to be working a 9-to-5. And I thank you for introducing me to how beautiful minorities can be when they work together. I didn't know this world existed where there is, you know, organizations with black banks, minorities that own well businesses and construction workers. And there are people that go to college and graduate and become successful. And successful doesn't mean having all the money. It just means you're doing something that you love doing and you're good at it. And that's what NAT would help me with. They help me not only to put the pieces together and refer me to the right people to get me in the position that I'm in, but they also back me 100% and whatever it is I want to do and move forward with. So thank you, Ms. Ann. Sorry to take over the call, but that's my imagination if I could share it.
Oh, most definitely, most definitely. And one of the things that came up in my spirit as you were sharing is the fact that everything we're doing came out of an idea. We're on this show because of an idea. The International Mastermind Association exists because of an idea. The National Association of Black Women in Construction exists because of an idea. And the imagination of taking that idea to another level and then another level and then another level. And anything that you are challenged with, help somebody else with the same challenge and grow through it together. That's what we're doing. We come on this show every single week for years, every single week for years, to share the fact, like Angelique said and like Ursula said and many of our callers and our guests in the past, you must have a dream to have a dream come true, and it's possible, but you must use your imagination and be open. I like to share with people that when I coach and when I teach and when I speak, create a journal for ideas. create a way for your imagination to flow. One of my favorite authors is Julia Cameron in her book, The Artist Way. She shares an idea of how to journal, and it's called morning pages. Now, I changed it for myself. When I coach, I call it my date with myself. And every morning, for the most part, I use her system of journaling 3 pages every day, first thing in the morning. You rise a little earlier, and then you just sit with the pen and paper, not typing, but a pen and paper, and you let your imagination flow on the page. You let the ideas flow on the page. You let whatever's inside come out on the page. And that allows you to release whatever's in, out. I like to also call it, you know, when you think about what do you do when you rise first thing in the morning? Most people say, oh, I pick up my phone, I get a cup of coffee, oh, I pray, oh, I just lay there and thank God. Yes, but most of us go to the bathroom. Yes, yes. We go and relieve our body. And my question to all of you is, how do you relieve your mind? How do you relieve your spirit and your soul and your emotions? Where do you relieve them? Well, Julia Cameron suggests, relieve them on the page. Use that creative imagination on the page. And as you do that, your ideas will flow. All you need is one idea that you are willing to, with the passion, like it's been discussed on the show this morning, with passion, and work that idea until you are consumed with it. That's what's happening with Ursula, with her creative wall. That's what's happening with Angelique, with the passion that she has for her beads. That's what's happening for each and every one of us, but are we willing to take action? We're going to prepare to wrap up the show, but we want to invite you to join us every single Saturday morning on this show as we think and grow rich. But also, if you are willing to be held accountable at an entirely different level for your business and your life, join us every January. This January, the 6th, is really the 5th and 6th. In Boca Raton at the Embassy Suites on Yamato, we're having and hosting our Think and Grow Rich accountability meeting where everyone is able to come and share your goals in writing. If it's not in writing, you can't share it, all right? But come and share your goals and be held accountable by a group of like-minded and like-spirited people. You can find the details on the link at Eventbrite. If you just type in Think and Grow Rich Accountability Meeting, join us every Saturday. If you would like to be a guest on the show, you can also let us know that also. But other than that, we want to give Angelique and Ursula a moment to give their closing remarks. We're going to wrap up the show, and then we will see you again next week on the radio. All right. Ursula, you first, and then Angelique, and we're going to wrap up the show. And again, for our callers that are listening in, if you have 1 minute, if you have a question or comment, just press 1. Otherwise, we'll see you next week. All right, Ursula, thanks.
Thank you. One of the things that I was thinking about as I was listening to you and Angelique is that I have a story that I heard, and I think it's biblical-based, but they took it out of that realm, and they talked about the person that was, there were 3 people that were given a gift, and this person gave a pound of steel to one person and said, make your fortune, and that person made a hammer out of it. And the second person made some nails and made a few more dollars. But the third person made watch springs and made a fortune. So the goal for me as I go through day to day is to take whatever skill or whatever gift I've been given to look for the watch spring idea that will maximize my having been given that, maximize the return for having been given that skill, whatever that skill happens to be. So whatever your skill is, whatever your desire is, you match that with alertness as far as your environment is concerned and looking for that idea to maximize your skill based on your imagination.
All right, Anthony, thank you.
Okay, mine would be in closing is that the sky doesn't have a limit. Once you see the sky after that, there's space, and beyond that, we have no idea what's beyond that. Even in the abyss goes so deep, there are depths that we have yet to be able to travel or create equipment for us to travel that deep. So don't put any boundaries or hinges on what it is that God has for you or is unfolding in you. Some of the artists, even Noah, they called him crazy. Even all of the artists that are highly talented don't get credibility until after they're deceased. So no matter how crazy or how out there your desire, your imagination takes you, I just don't let anyone tell you that you can't do it or that it's something that's not doesn't serve a purpose. Because God will give you ideas, and then he will provide you with the people to accommodate you. It's just like a GPS. The GPS does not begin working until you begin moving. It will remain stable and idle until you begin moving on that in that direction. Doesn't matter what direction you start, just start. Don't push back your start date. And I just want to encourage all of those dreamers and believers to please reach out to NABWIC, go on the website, whatever it is you have to do to get people more people like you around you, you will see that manifest and unfold in your life. Thank you.
All right. This has been a very empowering and exciting show using our imagination, creative imagination and synthetic imagination, and just focusing on the principles of what Napoleon Hill has espoused in his book, Think and Grow Rich. We are going to wrap up the show. We will look forward to seeing all of you next week again on the radio as we continue the discussion and the principles from Think and Grow Rich.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com. Or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.